Flatland by Edwin A. Abbott. Section 11. Concerning Our Priests. It is high time that I should pass from these brief and discursive notes about things in Flatland to the central event of this book, my initiation into the mysteries of space. That is my subject. All that has gone before is merely preface. For this reason, I must omit many matters of which the explanation would not, I flatter myself, be without interest for my readers, as, for example, our method of propelling and stopping ourselves, although destitute of feet, the means by which we give fixity to structures of wood, stone, or brick, although, of course, we have no hands, nor can we lay foundations as you can, nor avail ourselves of the lateral pressure of the earth, the manner in which the rain originates in the intervals between our various zones, so that the northern regions do not intercept the moisture falling on the southern, the nature of our hills and mines, our trees and vegetables, our seasons and harvests, our alphabet and method of writing, adapted to our linear tablets, these and 100 other details of our physical existence I must pass over. Nor do I mention them now, except to indicate to my readers that their omissions proceeds not from forgetfulness on the part of the author, but from his regard for the time of the reader. Yet, before I proceed to my legitimate subject, some few final remarks will no doubt be expected by my readers upon these pillars and mainstays of the constitution of Flatland, the controllers of our conduct and shapers of our destiny, the objects of universal homage and almost of adoration. Need I say that I mean our circles or priests? When I call them priests, let me not be understood as meaning no more than the term denotes with you. With us, our priests are administrators of all business, art, and science, directors of trade, commerce, generalship, architecture, engineering, education, statesmanship, legislature, morality, theology. Doing nothing themselves, they are the causes of everything worth doing that is done by others. Although popularly everyone called a circle is deemed a circle, yet among the better educated classes it is known that no circle is really a circle, but only a polygon with a very large number of very small sides. As the number of the sides increases, a polygon approximates to a circle, and when the number is very great indeed, say for example 300 or 400, it is extremely difficult for the most delicate touch to feel any polygonal angles. Let me say, rather, it would be difficult, for, as I have shown above, recognition by feeling is unknown among the highest society, and to feel a circle would be considered a most audacious insult. This habit of abstention from feeling in the best society enables a circle the more easily to sustain the veil of mystery in which from his earliest years he is wont to enwrap the exact nature of his perimeter or circumference. 3 feet being the average perimeter, it follows that in a polygon of 300 sides, each side will be no more than the 100th part of a foot in length, or little more than the 10th part of an inch. And in a polygon of 600 or 700 sides, the sides are little larger than the diameter of a Spaceland pinhead. It is always assumed by courtesy that the chief circle for the time being has 10,000 sides. The ascent of the posterity of the circles in the social scale is not restricted, as it is among the lower regular classes, by the law of nature, which limits the increase of sides to 1 in each generation. If it were so, the number of sides in the circle would be a mere question of pedigree and arithmetic, and the 497th descendant of an equilateral triangle would necessarily be a polygon with 500 sides. But this is not the case. Nature's law prescribes 2 antagonistic decrees affecting circular propagation. First, that as the race climbs higher in the scale of development, so development shall proceed at an accelerated pace. Second, that in the same proportion, the race shall become less fertile. Consequently, in the home of a polygon of 400 or 500 sides, it is rare to find a son. More than one is never seen. On the other hand, the sun of a 500-sided polygon has been known to possess 550 or even 600 sides. Art also steps in to help the process of higher evolution. Our physicians have discovered that the small and tender sides of an infant polygon of the higher class can be fractured and his whole frame reset with such exactness that a polygon of 200 or 300 sides sometimes, by no means always, for the process is attended with serious risk, but sometimes overleaps 200 or 300 generations, and as it were double at a stroke, the number of his progenitors and the nobility of his descent. Many a promising child is sacrificed in this way. Scarcely 1 out of 10 survives. Yet so strong is the parental ambition among those polygons who are, as it were, on the fringe of the circular class, that it is very rare to find the nobleman of that position in society who has neglected to place his firstborn in the circular neotherapeutic gymnasium before he has attained the age of a month. 1 year determines success or failure. At the end of that time, the child has, in all probability, added one more to the tombstones that crowd the neotherapeutic cemetery. But on rare occasional, a glad procession bears back the little one to his exultant parents, no longer a polygon, but a circle, at least by courtesy. And a single instance of so blessed a result induces multitudes of polygonal parents to submit to similar domestic sacrifice, which have a dissimilar issue. End of chapter. Read by Lorraine Montgomery for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.